More or Nothing.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of More or Nothing with Ryan and Max. As always, plethora of things to get stuck into. But first things first, we had a wonderful time in Bristol during the week, sitting down with the Maxatron, Wills, and your little pal, Harry Randall, and you both called that it was coming. The storm was a-coming, and Gloucester were going to get it. And they did.
They did. They did. It got naughty out there. It was a great game for the neutral to watch, actually. Some very high-level aesthetic code being put on display.
Well, hold on a minute. Let's start with our mate Randall. Let's start with
Barry. The rat man. The were rat. The weasel human. The stoat. Yeah, he was
how good.
He was on flame.
Just off the bat, so that people listening or watching are going, hold on a minute. Well, they've done a bit with him and that is coming out on Wednesday.
Don't worry,
but we chatted with Rans and we pretty much got him on a course for a couple of meat pies, didn't we, Max?
How good I think so. I think we fueled him with the finest burgers in all of Bristoldom, and that led to his furious surge in form. I mean, he's been playing well, but cheeky brace, one off a show and go and a little quick tap, chip over the top. Unbelievable finish. Very nice.
The bounce. It's like he had it on a string, Max. It's like he had it on a string. The old chip and chase. There's nothing better.
Oh, what, the more or nothing string?
Have you ever done it, Max?
Have I ever done it? A chip and chase? Man, it's never, ever entered my mind. Not once. I wish it had, though. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be playing prop if it ever came into my mind.
Well, John Welsh-esque, isn't it? Remember that? John Welsh.
Oh, mate, do you know that's me hitting out the line and he makes the line break?
Is that right?
Yeah, Petty Panua's just inside him. And I'm like, don't let the big fella get any head of steam. And then Welshy just gets the ball. Line break, chip over top, panic because he's in more space than Buzz Aldrin. You know what happens when that happens, when a prop's there. Freak out. Yeah, no. I wish. One day, maybe. Running out of days, though.
Yeah. We'll stay on Bristol then. So Bristol, Gloucester. How? Why did they turn it around so much? Like, how did they absolutely annihilate Gloucester, Max?
Well, I'm not sure it was like, it wasn't sort of such a massive change in form. I think we've been thereabouts against some very good opposition. But obviously there was a big opportunity, Derby. Like the whole week, I sensed a lot of frustration with the lads. Like training was getting a bit snappy, boys at each other's throats. You know, then something's about to happen on a Saturday. Boys were just kicking off, and you could just.
Well, Rand said, Big Piece said it. He said he was trying to scrap in the week, wasn't he?
Big Piece was scrapping. Big Piece and Genji almost went at it. I was like, that would have been funny because it would have been more. It would have been pretty one-sided. Yeah. But wait,
Max, wasn't Genji, whilst we were filming, then psyching out Rans, right? Psyching Big Piece out with the text. Yeah, what did he text him?
Exactly. They're besties, but they always just play mind games with each other. Yeah. Genji was just like, you're out of order, mate. You're so out of order. You need to come over right now and speak to me. Something like that. I love those ones. Those are my favourites. You know, someone just texts you out of the blue like, yeah, coach needs to see you right now. You've been so out of order. And you just leave it like that and just like silence the phone. Just let them sketch. Yeah, one of my favourites.
Yeah, he was darking out, wasn't he, though? Big Piece. He was like, oh, I don't know what this is about.
Like, yeah, Big Piece was freaking out. Yeah, that was good.
Was Pat happy? Was Pat happy after the game?
Yeah, I think there was a palpable sense of relief. But yeah, he was a happy man. Boys came through. I thought Viri had a strong game as well. Vakatawa came through. You see that chip through to Max Malins? Ooh, very naughty brass. Very naughty brass.
Very naughty. Max, look, tell me this, because I know it's obviously a point that we need to bring up. You didn't play again. Is there a little bit of you when you watch? Because I used to feel it. I'll be honest. When I used to like watch, were you a little bit like, oh God, why have they gone so well and I'm not involved?
What are you saying? Say the words, Wilson. I didn't. Are you accusing Max of not wanting them to win?
No. Because I probably, if there was times where I maybe think I want them to win, but maybe just by one.
I want them to win, but I want these guys to play terribly.
What a shocking front row performance.
No, I'm too old for that now. I used to be like that. Super like, yeah. Hopefully he's terrible, but we've done. Yeah.
Getting picked up in the scrum and
couple of up like toast. He messes that up. A few missed tackles. Happy days.
Yeah. But none of that now. You're happy.
Oh no, I'm a stone cold diplomat, old boy. No, it's all good. Yeah.
And it's a long old season. It's a long old season. What are you wearing, Max? Are you just wearing is that a beater, is it?
Yeah.
It looks like a GPS vest from here.
Yeah, you like that, don't you, boy? Look at that
cut.
Yeah,
he's always got that
flash out. You got the mammary glands bouncing. You stop it, you boys.
See, I couldn't wear that in my house because I've got four kids and I can't afford the heating, so it's fucking freezing in here.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's a bit toasty, actually, today. Yeah,
Max is so hot. In his childless flat. He's got his little dog on one of those electric wheels running the heater out.
So what was the final score, Bristol-Gloucester?
Oh, it was 51-27, I think. I can't remember. But Jamal Ford-Robinson got a brace from the short game, and then Lewis Rees-Sammet with a couple of naughty finishes, actually, to be fair to the big fella. Again, we were talking about him. He featured heavily in their attack. He was, yeah, you can't coach speed. That's for damn sure.
No. Did you catch up with any of the boys after?
No, it was all pretty cut and dry pretty quick. Yeah, I think they're in a bit of a rough spot now, the Gloucester lads. So we'll see how they kind of react to this one.
Don't you think Mark has changed a bit, Max, since his his big cameo on Instagram? Like Mark,
it's great.
Mark Nutface Edwards. I think it's got to his head. I even think he's starting to wear different clothes now. Look, I'm surprised he doesn't have a beater on today.
The viral thinking goes straight to the head, can't it, Marky boy?
But boys, do you know my most exciting thing? Right, we'll stop. We'll ask you a few questions in a minute. But Archie Curzon, the CEO of Clapham, he's come out. I threw it out there. What about Alex Payne versus Mark the Nutface Edwards in a UFC fight to the death?
What a dreadful call. And I
wouldn't. I think that wouldn't look great to watch. But I'd be there. I'd be in your corner, Mark.
Well, Max, why not?
It'd be awful. Who wants?
I don't, mate. You ever seen guys who can't fight try and grapple?
Yeah, just sit there sweating.
No. Nutface Mark. Hold on. What school did Mark Payne go to?
Eton, I think.
Oh, perfect. Like both in your gowns, like think coming out, bah, 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 and like hoods up with your gowns on from whatever school with the crest on, and then fight to the death. Boy, I think people want to see it. Have you been stopped in the street, Mark?
No, I've had. No, yes and no. There's been somebody who was like, oh, saw the clip. They didn't go, oi, nutface, you knobhead. I was like, nutface wanker.
Well, don't throw the wanker in, but if you do see Mark about, feel free to shout, hey, nutface, good to see you, bro. Because the other thing that people got into a very dark hole of Googling nutface, and I actually haven't done it yet, but I can only imagine
Google it at work.
There'll be some visceral imagery.
If you're in a loving relationship, just clear the search history afterwards, I think.
But make sure you jump on the comments section, slip into our DMs as per usual, and let us know if you'd like to see Bargain Bin Payne, also known as Mark Nutface Edwards versus Alex Payne in the UFC. I mean, what if it wasn't UFC, Max? What is it? What are we going to get them to do?
I think it would be better if we went like full Harry Potter vibes.
Just one on one, and then just screaming
at each other. Just expecto patronus all day.
Oh, that's it.
You'll be happy, Parker. Pano's definitely Slytherin, by the way. Definitely.
Oi, boys, there we are. There's a clip. There's actually a clip in Harry Potter, isn't it? Where Harry Potter's going and they're doing it end to end. So I'm getting straight onto Reface App, whatever it is, and I'm putting your head on Harry Potter and his head on. Who's it? Draco Malfoy. Oh, amazing. Absolutely incredible.
It's one of those things, though, with the comment, by the way, that he made, and you guys, I didn't feel like I could even like it or say anything on it, because I'm like, well, I don't want to endorse this. I also don't want to make it look like I want to get in a fight.
What would the BBC say if they saw you in a charity UFC fight?
As Nutface, where somehow I have to get that in as my finishing move. Kapow! Nutface!
Even more so, like, would you bring the wife and kids to the fight?
Or what, to watch me get my head kicked in? No.
Taylor looked handy at pugilism. He looked useful.
If he's been to a boxing gym once,
He's been for a camp. He went for a camp. He's going to have some skills.
Obviously not. I'll take it like a sprint off. I could do that.
Stop playing yourself down. I don't want to hear it anymore because I don't want you to play yourself down.
Oh, really? Do you think I'm sharking Pano? I'm actually a street fighter at heart.
Max, if you had to do something, if you had to go and do another fighting sport, what would it be? Like a charity fight, what would you do? Because I'm pretty sure John Welsh just did... he just had his first professional jiu-jitsu fight.
How'd he go?
I think he lost, but he said it was done on points. He said it was the most boring thing anyone would have ever watched. Just two fat blokes lying on each other.
No, that's literally what rapping looks like. Yeah.
That's what he said it looked like. He said it was pathetic. But what would you... would you enter into a boxing match?
Yeah, but I'd like to do like one of those white collar jobbies where you do the whole camp, you know? Like you train up for it.
Oh, you'd have to train. You couldn't just swallow.
I wouldn't mind that. That'd be quite fun.
Right, wrestling.
I do like wrestling, but surely, as you said, it looks terrible.
What does, sorry?
Wrestling. Like grappling. Yeah. Like Welch was saying, yeah, it's literally like just two elephant seals going at it.
Yeah. See, I went to Blaze this morning. Bex made me go to Blaze because I'm getting a little bit round the gut. And Blaze is like a hit class. And you have to do boxing in it. You have to punch back. My shoulders just burn out instantly.
Yeah, the delts get tired, don't they?
I don't have any shoulders. Yeah, so my bones get tired really quick.
The floppy trout.
Yeah, I've never seen the trout throw a hook either.
Let's talk about a big result in the Saints versus Saris. Surprised?
Mm. I was surprised. I thought Northampton looked, but they didn't look surprised. They looked composed. They were predatory. Like their poise was on point. They were just, and I've also liked their sneaky depth. Like off the bench, they got mad impact coming on. I think they play. They sort of out Saris, like Saris in areas of the field and sort of terms of kick chase and stuff, they were fighting for everything. Definitely deserved winners. It was a class performance, and some people might say, oh well, Farrell wasn't playing all this, but man, I don't think it would have made a difference. I thought Northampton went there to do a job and they absolutely smashed and grabbed it.
Yeah, they were clinical, weren't they? They really took their chances. And they look pretty sharp, to be fair to them. So that's them, even on points with Saris now. I don't know why. I just thought that was it. Saris would start running away with it after last week. But fair play to them. And I suppose whilst we're on that, let's talk about Owen Farrell and him obviously stepping down. Am I right in saying it's just international rugby at the moment?
Yeah.
And only for the Six Nations is what he said? Or just for the foreseeable future?
It sounded like he's not going to feature in the Six Nations, so I don't think he's gone. Like I might or may. It's just that's where they're at the moment. He wants to be, well, everything implies that, you know, continue with Saracens, of course, because it's his family sort of thing. And I think it's a horrible culmination of just getting constantly battered on social media, but also bigger than that on media generally. All these ex-players, all these pundits, all these journalists effectively saying, why do you keep getting picked? And I think that's taken its toll, which is horrible.
Yeah, do you reckon, right? So I was thinking about this earlier, and it's a terrible thing that he's felt the need to step down from the best thing you can do in rugby, which is play for your country, right? And he's had to step away from it because of the abuse and the bloody torture he gets from all these muppets out there on social media and whatever. And a few of the people in the media, like us, we're a media, actually, if you think about it, but we're all right. But don't you think it's an absolute disgrace that he's had to step away from it because of those morons? But what I was thinking, right, is there something in it where people are saying, is he an England captain he's probably got the most abuse as an England captain? And then that got me thinking, is that because of his position? And then it got me thinking, are there many tens that are captain? Because it's such a instrumental, crucial part of the game. They've got so much on their shoulders already, running the game plan, kicking, most of them kick. So they've got that on their shoulders. They've got so much going on that actually chuck captaincy on top of that, it's a lot. It's a lot to take on. And then if you're not performing well and it's your captain, well, you play your captain every week. Whereas I was thinking, as a back row, you can almost hide in the shadows. You could be not playing that well and still get by without people going, he's absolutely shy, because you're not in the spotlight all the time. Whereas as a 10, you are in the spotlight. You are, it's all on your shoulders, right?
I think that's a
Max, thoughts on that? Am I going somewhere that I shouldn't, or is, can
no,
you
I think, I think, yeah, there's a point there to be made, but also I think a big part of Owen's game is his leadership qualities. That's part of what makes him so good at the game. Like, he is an exemplary leader. I have the theory that the reason he's sort of taken so much abuse, though, is because he's got this sort of Teflon Don sort of aura about him. Like, he's the toughest pinata at the party. You can crack him, you can bang him, but none of the candy falls out, you know what I mean? So, like, he's been taking all this abuse for so long, but you could never tell. He never made it clear. He never sort of showed that vulnerability. And now it's all come to a head, sadly.
Yeah, it is. It is fucking sad, isn't it?
No, it is very sad.
Because you want, we always talk about that 10 position. On there. I suppose he plays 12 a lot, doesn't he? And he's played with Ford and he's played with Marcus Smith at 12. So maybe my point's not completely right. I was just trying to think, like, do many 10s captain teams? And listen, the comment section will probably go fucking mental.
No, but there must be something, Ryan. You're totally right about, because he's far more in the spotlight as the place kicker. So when he misses, he has a great game, a couple of, you know, assists and everything, but he misses six against Bristol. What's the headline? Farrell misses kicks in Saracen's victory. You're like, well, hang on. He had a good game, ball in hand. He just wasn't great off the tee. And I think you'd multiply that by 100 when he plays for England, and he never used to get it in his earlier career because he was so metronomic. And then suddenly it's like, well, we've got these new fancy people that we want in, you know, we want Marcus Smith in, or George Ford should be playing, all these kind of things. And, you know, he's just taken that hit over and over. And I think it's kind of bizarrely a combination of what you're both saying. I definitely think Max's point is so true. Never looked like there was a vulnerability there. And I think loads of people should be quite reflective about seeing that and being like, were you a dickhead? And I know we have had a chat about things where we've kind of gone, oh, just put Smith in or whatever. You know, these things that are kind of almost throwaway comments, and they weigh on people, they weigh on families, and, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Well, that's it. Well, good luck to him. Hopefully, he obviously is injured, isn't he? He was out of the game at the weekend because he was injured, but hopefully he comes back and absolutely smashes it and shuts everybody up.
Is there an element, though, also of... Sorry, just not... I know we're closing it off, but that semi-final performance, he's dropping goals, but he was phenomenal, right? Absolutely phenomenal in a World Cup semi-final they were supposed to get thrashed in. Everybody thought that England would get hammered, and he led it from the front. I just can't see how the haters would still look at that and go, oh yeah, but he's not. But he's not good.
Yeah, it'd be bloody interesting to see if they got into that final, eh?
What would
have happened then? I saw a clip the other day, and he was signing autographs, and there's some knobhead behind shouting abuse at him, and the bloke's got his kid on his shoulders, and you're thinking, what are you doing, you absolute dickhead?
Yeah, but other than win a World Cup, what else does he have to prove? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's
bloke's consummate.
That's probably
we need to
record point scorer. Sneaky young as well. He's like only 30, isn't he? Like, it's madness to me. But
yeah, people pay to go and watch matches. I think they they almost own you.
Yeah, but it should be self-policing, shouldn't it? Shouldn't it be self-policing?
If you go to Bath, you pretty much do own the players at £80 a ticket. That's fucking crazy. That's fucking hush. I still can't get over that. Fucking madness. But other than that, you know what I mean? I suppose it's the pressure that money's put on people as well, because everyone will know he's obviously the highest paid now at Sarri's. And it's the same with Finn. If Finn was absolute dog turd down at Bath and people are paying, I'm going to up it, £90 a ticket.
Can't believe it's 300 quid a ticket at Bath.
Yeah. Then would he be getting the same stick? You know, like, is he gonna get the same amount of abuse? I think Finn does get a little bit of stick, but nowhere near the amount that I'm proud of it.
As a sort of onto the similar vein, we're talking big hotshot tens, and it was a battle of the tens between Quinns and Sale, and probably safely say that it was a big victory for Marcus Smith.
Bloody hell it was. 36-3 against Sales. I think that's the first time in 2 years that Quinns have not conceded a try in the Premiership. Do you know that?
Good. Are you doing some research? God, you're such a nose.
Pundit
man.
Wilson over here. Pundit. Yeah. That's probably not true, but it sounded good, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah. Mental. Absolutely mental. Sale just looked out of sorts, though, Max, didn't they?
Yeah, I thought they looked a bit off, didn't they? They were a bit flat, let's be honest. They weren't where they were meant to be. Stuff just wasn't clicking for them. Lots of unforced errors. But yeah, Quinns were... Oh, they were naughty. Yeah, cutting himself naughty. Don Brandt busy. Marcus Smith obviously pulling strings. Cade Murley, he's got to be involved. February, come on. Come on now. Bloke is an absolute racehorse, man's a centaur.
All right, here's one for you then. What about Will Josephs? He's been incredible. Is he better than his brother yet, or will he be better than his brother? There's a question.
Okay. He's not better than his brother at this point yet in their careers. If we run them parallel, like his brother, people forget how freakish Jonathan Joseph was when he first came onto the scene. Started for Weir, moved eventually into the centres when Elvis Sevahili and Mapasua sort of moved on. But it's looking interesting. He's definitely a weightier human, though. There's something a bit more robust about William Joseph. Thicker through the thigh. A bit more of a power centre.
Am I right in saying there's another brother that plays as well?
No, just
it's just those two?
Yeah.
Fair play to him, though. He was outstanding in the game as well.
He really was. Hell of a boy. Lovely lad.
Good fun.
So yeah, I'm actually really excited for him. What's that?
Is he good fun?
Yeah. He'll. Yeah. He's a good man. He's a good boy. Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah, that's all you need. He's got a firm, good head on his shoulders. He's learned. He'll be hopefully learning from his brother's mistakes, and you know how that goes. Always for the best.
And let's talk about the bit that obviously got Nutface Mark so excited, was the punch up. Like, that is what gets Nutface Mark going nowadays.
That was tasty, wasn't it?
Nutface Mark, were you in the living room like, Nutface him? I actually think I heard someone shout, Nutface him, out like from behind as well. It did get a bit tasty. Was it the tight head for Sale, though? He was getting a bit chopsy, wasn't he, when he's that far down?
Who was it? Who knows? It was Johnny Hill up on Gunningham South. So Johnny Hill's got his elbow in Gunningham South's mush. And then you've got Cowan Dickey's riding the body, the wave, and like laughing on the way down because he's just enjoying himself in the melee. That was my like key moment of that I enjoyed.
Who's number one for Sale, though?
McIntyre.
Oh, it was Si McIntyre, yeah.
McIntyre. He was the reason old Cunningham South got upset, though. You could see.
I thought it was Gus War.
Oh, well, to be fair, there was about four or five of them around him.
But Cunningham South takes the short side carry, doesn't he? Gets banged.
Yeah.
You know how, like, you're like trailing and you get banged, then you throw a body off you, thinking you're a big man. So he throws Gus War off him. Gus Ward takes exception to this. He's still holding on to him. And then Sy's got to back up his nine because Gus Ward's only little. He's only little. And Cunningham South's got like the stature on the man. And then it all kicks off. Yeah. And then Johnny Hill, obviously, he gets very aroused by anything that involves handbags. So they're into it.
I was going to say, Johnny No Chin Hill. What about him without a chin? He doesn't have a chin anymore. Where did that go?
What? What?
His chin's disappeared. It's like, I don't know why. I just forget what he looks like. He had a beard. When did he shave that off? Because he doesn't look like he's got a chin anymore.
I think he's always looked like that, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he's had a vast transformation.
It just shocked me. Well, maybe it's his hair then. Something looked like it was missing. It looked like his chin was missing off his head.
He's a big fella, though. He's definitely put on a bit.
Maybe that's why. Maybe his body's got bigger and his head looks smaller. Whereas my head looks bigger and my body's getting smaller. So John Barkley always calls me a lollipop when he sees me.
Brilliant. Stewie from Family Guy.
Yeah.
Will it run.
But we did, yeah, a little bit of pushing and shoving, but Quinn's absolutely dominating that one down at the stoop.
They did.
And that's him up to third now. Quinn's up to third. Sale's still top, though, aren't they? Sale's still top. Bath joint first with them, and then Quinn's just behind in third. So,
yeah.
And the old Premiership's looking pretty interesting now.
Quick words on Finn and Bath just kind of running away with it against Exeter.
Yeah. I thought Alfie Barbary was very good. Alfie the Barbarian dominated. Sam Underhill dominating. Elliot Stug back in there doing an absolute job with Charlie Yules in the row. But yeah, the backs, man, they've got so much firepower now. Finn... I think Spencer's got to be involved this February as well. He's just been unbelievable. Him and Finn together is a hell of a combo. Because you've got like Ben Spencer's like sort of game administration, that like elite short kicking game. And then you've got Finn who's full like, look at my hands. Oh, wait, they're here. Oh, wait, they're over there. Like that kind of vibe. So now they're just sort of experimenting with a bit of misdirection. Big Joe getting on the end of a cutler. Mate, they look good.
I'll tell you what will be interesting to see how that affects Scotland's selections in the Six Nations with Finn playing so much and so well with Cam Redpath.
Yeah, mate, Cam was very good. That's what I was going to say. Cam Redpath, very good.
It'll be really interesting to see if that has any sort of... Because obviously there's Hugh Jones, Sione Tuipulotu. I'll tell you what, we'll get onto it in a minute, but Matt Scott, how he's not...
Yeah, Matt Scott should get another runner, shouldn't he?
So you look at this and you go, fucking hold on a minute. Scott's got serious centre. That 10-12 axis, whether that weighs into Scotland's thinking, Gregor Townsend's definitely going to be looking at that going, ooh, that could work nicely for me. So interesting. Very, very interesting indeed. I like it as well. I like it, but I do love Hugh Jones and Big Sione Tuipulotu as well. And I'm missing loads of other people. But
Max Quick, you mentioned Ben Spencer needs to be in there. Obviously, Rans, now that we love the guy after our hang out last week and him a couple of meat pies and looking so sharp, should he be coming back into the conversation? Because people seem to forget that he was the starting scrum half for England last year in the Six Nations.
Yeah, I would love Rans in there, but I feel like that's not what... Oh, to be fair, he's picking Mitchell, isn't he? So
yeah, but that's what Rans is sort of saying, and when that episode comes out, people will hear it. It's the way he plays is different at Bristol.
Steve wants something different. Like he wants like a guy who administrates the game, controls the game from nine. And I feel like I don't know if Rans is like fully. Oh, mate, if you want, I mean, I'd want to see him in there. Obviously, I'd love to see him in there.
But he brings the pace. He ups the pace. Danny Kerr often on the bench for England. So
that's true. He could be that. He comes in
and picks up the pace off of something a bit different. And listen, he's now one of my best mates, Rans. So,
Yeah, big piece.
Watch the show on Wednesday. We get up close and personal with Harry Randall. We find out what it's really like to work with Max. We find out all about his fun career so far, and it was a good episode, and we're all together in Bristol. It was good fun, wasn't it, boys?
Yeah, and whilst I've got this opportunity, as per usual, we would like to say a huge thank you to Wolf Craig Distillers. They've been our number one supporter, boys. Realistically, they're our only supporter. And you can head over to wolfcraig.com where you can pick up some lovely little bits for Christmas. But Max, what is the what is that website again, please?
Wolfcraig.com.
Go and check them out.
God, I've got that Blockbuster voice down now, lads.
You nailed it.
If I was like a 90s film trailer narrator, fuck, I would have been rich. Now they don't do those guys anymore. You know, like Ryan Wilson, Mark Tudor Edwards, and a critically acclaimed motion picture.
It'll come back round. People are wearing flares again, mate. People are wearing fucking flares again, so you'll be all right.
Well, you were here, there, and everywhere last week. We saw you. You were taking after having a couple of pints in Cork.
Oh, yes, Max. I had my first pint of Beamish. Ever had a Beamish?
What's a Beamish?
Oh, exactly. I was in Ireland on Wednesday and I had a pint of Guinness and I said, oh, I'm down in Cork on Friday and I said, I'll have a pint down there. And they said, no, don't be drinking Guinness down there. You either drink Murphy's or Beamish. A pint of creamy Beamy, as they call it, and it was bloody lovely. You shouldn't really have too many of them before you commentate. So I only had one. Don't worry. But in the second pub, when I was leaving, as I walk out the pub, Max, right, I've just had a lovely bit of, I'm on my own. I've landed in Cork, day of the game. And I'd probably say it was not one of the nicest establishments, but I was starving. So I've ordered the sausage and mash. I thought I'll do a good sausage down here and mashed potato, obviously. And not only has a family-sized platter of 8 sausages come out with mashed potato, but a lovely gravy, demolished it, had a pint of creamy Beamy, and got rucksack on because I'm commentating, and I thought I could walk to the ground from here because I've sent Simon Zeba a picture, and I've gone, mate, I'm in this pub, fancy coming down for a pint. And he's gone, Wilson, whatever you do, get the fuck out of there as soon as you can. So from when I've got in there, it's now filling up with loads of Munster fans. Anyway, as I'm walking out, I wish they'd done it before, but it was just as I was leaving on my own with my rucksack, proper rucksack wanker, and open the door. Ryan Wilson, you're a c- I mean, what can you, all I could do to that was smile and go, cheers, mate, and just give him a thumbs up.
Yeah, that's what we can do. Just smile and wave.
Smile and wave, boys. So that was quite funny.
We went straight to a Munster, like, fortress pub where they all gather knowing how much they will hate you.
Yeah.
Your reputation precedes you, Mr. Wilson.
I don't think it was a good idea, but I got out of there alive and caught up with my old mate Zeebo. It's good to see him.
Wait. I just need to get back to the... What is a creamy Beamy?
It's just... It's like a... It's what I gather, right, is it's like a... I don't want to offend anyone here, but it's like the cheaper version of Guinness. It's like...
Just say it's like a Guinness. Right. Why did you say cheaper? It's like a Guinness. Well,
it was only like £4.20 or something. Yeah, but it was lovely. Anyway, did the game, managed to jump on the charter flight back with the boys actually afterwards, which was an absolute godsend. Got me back to Glasgow at 2 a.m.
Was it a bit of a downer of a flight?
Yeah, it was. They didn't start very well, Glasgow. 19-0 down after like not even 15, 20 minutes, I don't think. But they managed to claw it back a bit. And Frankie Smith, he to be fair to him, after the game, he said he was happy that he saw the boys had enough to sort of pull it back. But they pull it back and then Munster take over. And Munster were good, give them their due. Ended 40-29 to Munster. And that means Leinster leapfrog them and Glasgow go to second. But still second in the league. Boys will be all right. They'll be okay.
Did you know that you were featuring very heavily on the BBC Sport live text website? So they had the game on there doing all the commentary, and it was, they were using you via play, and it was Ryan Wilson, and it was taking snippets of your comments throughout the game.
Oh no.
It actually sounded like you'd had a sort of mildly successful professional career, so it was like all right.
I thought you were going to say it sounded like you had too many pints of Guinness.
No, it was all right. It sounded like you knew maybe that you'd been in one of these games and that you knew a thing or two about rugby.
Yeah, you're right.
But I was a little bit like, I don't think he knows that he's being chopped up here. Because I'm like, no, it was good. You're fine.
You were okay.
A lot of people slid into my DMs because I did say that Ollie Jaeger, who plays prop for them. Do you remember him? He's played over in, Super 14, whatever you call it. Yeah, the tight head, I think he is, with the big moustache, bald head. Well, anyway, I said he looks like the baddie from Sonic. And
he does.
Dr. Robotnik. He does look like...
Hold on, Max. What did you call him? Dr. Robotnik, the...
The Eggman.
Yeah, the Eggman.
The Eggman. Because I was calling him Eggman. So then I was like, he looks like Eggman. And then everyone's going, it's not Eggman, it's Dr. Robotnik. But Eggman was his nickname, wasn't it?
They conflate.
Yeah. I got a lot of upset people saying it's not Eggman, it's Dr. Robotnik.
There's some Sonic purists out there.
Yeah,
my
guys,
God.
Good.
So I just called him Eggman every time he got near the ball. And had a bit of fun with it. Anyway.
Perfect timing for getting into what was a heck of a weekend in the URC. Some big, big results. Ryan, let's kick off with Leinster snatching the win.
Oh, yeah. Go over there. Sports ground, Galway, one of my favourite places to play away, actually. You go down to the Quay Street where they serve a lovely pint of Guinness. But, oh, boys, talking about pints, hey, how fitting is that? Mac Hansen back starting in the team rather than sitting in the stands drinking pints. Did you see that? He's getting along to games, just sitting in with the fans drinking pints. How good. You've got to love it, haven't you? What a bloke. Yeah, but he was on fire. Set up two tries. Big Jack's Nino Mar, he's back at the helm for Leinster. He's obviously shitting bricks. He's thinking, oh my God, we're going to lose this one. 19-8. To Leinster, it was around 65 minutes, but Caelan Blade, who actually got man of the match.
To Connacht, you mean? Sorry, to Connacht at this point.
Yeah. No. Sorry.
Okay, sorry.
It was 19-8 to Leinster. So Leinster were going all right, but Caelan Blade suddenly kicks in, sparks Connacht, and off they go, and they end up in front right up until the 80th minute. Clock's in the red. Leinster are losing 22-19, and Kieran Frawley steps a few people and he goes in for his try and Leinster do it right at the death, which you've got to feel for Connacht because I think they realistically should have won that one. And Leinster, and again, it doesn't help Glasgow because Leinster then leapfrog back at the top, but that shows why they're so good. So yeah, Leinster come through with that one, scrape it, and another win for them. But Connacht were pretty unfortunate.
Right, take us to South Africa with the Bulls battering the Sharks.
Well, Max, the real question is, who would win in a fight, a bull or a shark?
It depends. Is the bull in aqueous medium for the shark? And it must be saline aqueous medium, otherwise the shark can't breathe. Unless it's a bull shark and it can go in brackish water.
Oh, that's here. Well, they might be thinking about that, the Sharks, at the moment, the way they're going, to combine with the Bulls to have the Bull Sharks. The Hollywood Bet Bull Sharks.
Bit of a lot.
Jesus Christ.
But now, in all seriousness, I thought the Sharks would put up more of a fight, especially with all their big boys back, all the Springboks back in there, but they didn't. And the Bulls, I think they had four tries before half-time, which isn't what you want to see. But fair play to the Bulls. They were bloody good. As we said, old mate Willie LaRue is back out there doing all things good for them. And Bulls on top of the Sharks, tore them a new one. It's hard up at altitude though, boys. Is that why? Were the Sharks out of water up at altitude?
Sharks out of water.
The Bulls, to be fair, we thought they were going to be good. They've been going well. The other South African teams haven't really been firing yet. I mean, the Stormers are still down at 10th and Sharks, boys, they're struggling. They've only had one win.
Why is that, do you reckon?
I don't know. Well, I did say they'd have, now they've got all their big guns back, they would go a bit better, but you'd think they would have put up more of a fight against the Bulls and they didn't. So I'm not sure who they got next week. Oh, well, we're going to European rugby, don't we? We're going to European rugby next week.
Indeed.
So all changes.
Who are you guys? You guys have got Lyon, right?
Oh, Lyon. Yeah.
Ooh.
Hold on, who plays for Lyon? Which Fijian? Semi?
Prophet Randradra.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's exciting.
I know. Mr. Semi, meow, meow, woof, woof's coming back to town. Should be fun. Should be fun. I can't wait to just give him all sorts. Well, if I play, probably not, so I won't be able to.
You will be. Don't talk like that. Let's quickly, let's obviously make a mention to my dark horses, Benetton. They're not Benetton Treviso anymore. They're just Benetton. So,
oh, Benetton.
Benetton. They've beaten Ospreys. They've done it again. That's it. Five wins for the boys in green. They've been outstanding again. I'm just, I called it early. That's why I'm so happy. I think it's just because I called it so early. The only thing, Ospreys didn't have a few of their internationals. I almost felt like they, oh God, don't get yourself in trouble, Ryan, but I almost felt like they thought, it's too hard a place to go and win the Ospreys. We probably won't win over there. So they rested Jack Morgan, George North, Dewey Lake, Adam Beard, all the Welsh international boys.
Seriously.
They were all rested. Part of me feels like they sent a young team over. And it was in the balance. It was 13-all, like a 3 or 4 minutes to go. But Benetton managed to sneak it right at the end. So to be fair to Ospreys, they had a young team out and they played pretty well. But Benetton.
But wait, Ryan, if they're sending like a younger side away to Italy, I mean, there's a lot of tough away matches if you're the Ospreys in the URC. You know, you've got to go to South Africa, you've got to go over to Ireland, you've got to go and play Glasgow and Edinburgh, who are going well. Like,
yeah, but what I'm saying is, listen, maybe I've got it completely wrong. Maybe they had to rest. You know, Scotland, you're only allowed to play 5 games in a row and then you have to rest the players. So, like, international players at Glasgow, they get played for 4 or 5 games, I think it is, and then you get rested 1 game. So maybe there is something there. But I just felt like gone are the days when you would throw a young team going over to Zebre, because Zebre, we saw it a few weeks ago, won their first game in the league ever. And you think back in the day, you'd put a young team over there because you'd maybe go and do the job. Whereas now you think, well, you put a young team over to Benetton, probably not to go and do the job because they can easily run amok over there, but because they maybe thought they weren't going to get a win. And going into Europe, maybe a different focus, rest some boys up for Europe. I'm not too sure. It was a strange one.
Well, Wills.
But like I said, Ospreys did well with some of the young guys. I tell you what, boys, Nagy, the young fullback for Ospreys, I reckon we'll see him in a Wales shirt in the Six Nations. He's been going really well.
The way Benetton are going, and they are your dark horses, and you know they make up a lot of the Italian squad and will make up a lot of the Italian squad for the Six Nations. You've seen them over the seasons. Is there something brewing? Is there something different going on? Or is this just another, they're playing well as a team, but it will be another one of those false dawns for Italian rugby?
I don't know, because we thought they were building towards the World Cup and then they weren't very good at all. In fact, in times they were bloody embarrassing during the World Cup, weren't they? So I don't know. I just don't know. I think if you put a bit more pressure on with the relegation stuff in the Six Nations, maybe. Do they need that pressure? Probably not. They don't want to be losing every single game in the Six Nations. So I'd like to see it, but I can't call it until you'd think that'd have an impact. You'd think the fact that Benetton are going so well in the league and there's a lot of Welsh, but Italian players in there.
Benetton have got quite a lot of foreign talent though, don't they, at the moment?
Yeah, they've got a few, but they've still got a good core of the Italian team in there. They've still got a good core of the Italian team in there. So who bloody knows? We don't, because we haven't got a clue.
Is this the best Benetton side you've seen, though, so far?
Oh, yeah.
This is
up there, isn't it?
Okay. Well, hopefully, that's a good thing for our, you know, we're a fan of the Italians, aren't we? It leaves us with your favourite club, Edinburgh, managing to do one over Ulster.
Yeah, great. Well done.
That's decent. That's a good result.
Not for Ulster, it's not.
You're such a dick. Such a dick.
Very good.
Good. Good for me.
Very dad of you.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong, Ryan. You're right. Ulster.
Old mate Kitsy's not going to be happy. Neither's Dan McFarland. I'll be honest, I wasn't that interested in it because it was an Edinburgh game, even though I'm commentating for it for them in a few weeks. But yeah.
Bro, can't you get past that? It's a bit weird now. Come on, man.
Nah. Never. I mean, who would be your biggest rival club, Max?
My biggest rival club? Well, I'm not like a one club man, so I don't have that issue.
His biggest rivals are Bath, and he played for them.
Exactly.
Yeah, see, I'm not a turncoat. I stuck to my guns.
You know what? Some of us weren't being handed Connie's left, right, and rhubarb. Yeah.
So I just need a job, mate.
Do you know what? It's been 14 years of it. The biggest games we play were the 1872 Cup matches at Christmas time. But you're right, Max. Do you know what, Max?
Yeah.
I do need to get over it. I think you're right.
For your career.
Well, I think it would just help with your professionalism going forward as a burgeoning, the new school of punditry.
Well, yeah, okay. Does it help or
does it?
Does it bring something a bit different? Because I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest. You know, when it comes to 1872 club, the match during Christmas, I'm commentating. I'm guessing Barks or Jim Hamilton will be the Edinburgh. I think it's better if you have a Glasgow Warrior versus, and then you could be like, shut up, mate, that was crap.
Yeah, no, that's nice, actually. That could be good.
Yeah, so maybe should we wait until after Christmas for me to start turning and being a little bit nicer about Edinburgh?
Yeah.
Should we do that?
Yeah. I think that's a good... As long as you've got like an ex Edinburgh player in the punditry booth with you, I think that's fine.
Yeah. If you're just commentating Edinburgh, right, and you just sound like Jay from The Inbetweeners being like, well, I could have shagged her twice as hard. Do you know what I mean? Like, Glasgow were 10 times better for every comment. It's just not going to be... conducive to good listening.
But anyway, plug this bit in here. Ready, James? Yeah, no, Edinburgh really good. Jamie Ritchie was on fire, had a few good turnovers. He's turned up. And Ulster, I tell you, Dan McFarland is not going to be happy. They don't like losing at home, Ulster. Crikey. They're under the pump a little bit, but Edinburgh moving up the table and they still won't make the top.
I really want. Okay, that needs to be edited not at all. Where it's right, just stick this in.
That was good. That was good though.
Yeah, that was your. You know what? That's like your five live when they throw to you at the stadium. Except it tailed off at the end. They probably won't make it anyway.
Max, I've noticed. Like, I've spent probably 85% of this show looking at the top of your fucking dome.
You've had to say a few times, I'm fully
engaged in our riveting conversation.
But what have you been doing?
I've been fiddling. And this day it was sketching on the back of this rather nice envelope. Look, I've got some kind of pin-up. And then I've got a potential tattoo design.
A drawing.
Another revolver. We got like some strange self-portrait. Look at that. That's a sad, sad eyes of a man that's lost at seeing an existential crisis as a bun him. Right, that was me.
Right, Mark, talk to us. Why are people hearing us early?
Well, as efficient as Small or Nothing always is, we've come early onto your phones. That's the soundbite that none of us wanted to hear. But we are early. We are in your heads, in your ears, far earlier than usual because, well, first things first, we like to do first all around. Ryan's revolutionising the punditry world, and we figured More or Nothing needs to be doing the exact same thing from the podcast angle and the filmed podcast angle. We are bringing all of the reaction and all of the takes and the hot thoughts on all of the URC and Prem action over the weekend and the talking points, and we're getting it to you earlier than all of the other podcasts that you're slowly stopping from enjoying. Because, well, why wouldn't you? And I'll tell you another reason why you're going to not need anything else besides More or Nothing, because we're going to be bringing you on a Wednesday, well, insights up close, personal, putting players under the microscope, starting with Harry Randall on Wednesday. It's a very, very fun episode. And we do themes, don't we, Ryan?
We do.
And this week's theme, what is it, Max? With Harry Randall?
The theme was coach journeys. What is the weirdest, the most wonderful place of all sort of rugby skullduggery? The away buses. That's where the juicy stuff happens. Tune in to find out more about Harry Randall's, Ryan's and my experience in this wonderful game on those strange, strange vehicles that take us to away games.
That's all the time we got left. From Maul or Nothing's Rugby Roundup team of Max, Ryan and myself, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And we will see you all next week.
More or Nothing.